Because some journeys are better taken together.
Let's walk the talk. 702.
So the constant power outages are forcing many South Africans back to the office. We have Osborne Moluti, Labour analyst, who's on the line with us. And Osborne, it can't be an easy situation. Are you working from home today?
Yes, it can be an easy situation. I have been working from home, but there were instances where I have to go to the office to attend physical meetings, mm-hmm. you know, to attend to, you know, preparation of matters, etc. Because I am a lawyer myself by trade. So in my situation, and I would imagine in other colleagues' situation who are professional services mm-hmm. providers, there will be times where they may be required to be in person at the office.
Okay.
But let's go back where it all started. Mm-hmm. You know, ironically, we were not required to be at the office because of COVID, and rightly so. But currently, and that's why I said ironically, currently, mm-hmm. employees are not able to execute their task efficiently while working from home because of another pandemic. You and I know what that pandemic is, and it's load shedding.
Mm.
And because of that, employers cannot be expected to sit back and do nothing, you mm. know, when their employees' performance has declined, their productivity has declined, because they are not able to carry out their jobs fully due to primarily load shedding.
Gotcha.
And you and I know that even when power comes back at about 9 p.m., mm-hmm. it's very rare that an employee will show some sort of dedication and say, look, the work that I wasn't able to do between 2 and 4 or between 11 and 3 or whatever, let me now show my dedication, wake up and do that. And that is why most employers are now, in inverted commas, pushing for all employees to return to office, because they say at the office we have backup mechanisms. Some employers may even have panels, etc.
Okay.
Remember, even when there's load shedding, the network for our telephones also gets affected
one way or the other.
So we can't expect an employer under those circumstances to simply sit back and do nothing about this.
If you've just joined us, we're talking to Osborne Moluti, the Managing Director of Moluti Attorneys and Employment Law Specialist. Osborne, it seems like there needs to be some mitigating factors and a very detailed communication. How transparent should employers be and open to a diplomatic process? Or what does the process look like? Do you use consultants? Do you use your own discretion? And how important is it to involve your employees in making this decision and these commitments?
Thank you so much. Maybe perhaps before I proceed, just for the benefit of your listeners, my name is Osborne Moluti, and I'm the MD of Moluti Attorneys.
Thank you, Osborne.
So, yeah, Moluti. Thank you. Prudent employers will be expected to be engaging. An employer will not wake up one morning and say, dear all, I now want you next week full-time at the office. I don't think that would be the right way to do.
Mm.
And more so because employees have been working from home for quite some time. And in some instances, you may find that working from home was ultimately made a term of condition, which I doubt, but some employers may have eventually made that. Now, you and I know that if you have a term of employment, mm-hmm. an employer cannot change that unilaterally. But that is a topic for another day. But coming to an assumption that these arrangements were made at the instance of employer after engaging with employees as to why they should work from home, similarly, the employer will have the prerogative to ask the very same employees it had requested to work from home to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And the reasons, those reasons must be explained in meetings, communications. And in fact, some employers go as far as forming what they call return to office committee or hybrid working committee,
mm-hmm.
where another option to be explored is whether employees can work hybrid. In other words, work from home and then some days come to the office to catch up, you know, with the work that they were not able to do because of load shedding, or perhaps to return to the office full time. So those are the aspects that a prudent employer would want to engage with employees and or their representatives and make those discussions, you know, open and put the topics on the table. Hybrid, full time, or no return. And if there's no return, that's the last aspect that I want to touch for you. If obviously, if employees refuse to accede to an employer's request to return to office, the employer under those circumstances may be left with no option but to consider disciplining that employee for refusing to obey the employer's instruction, reasonable instruction or request. And unfortunately, the consequence may be the employee losing his or her job. There has been a case where an employee relocated during lockdown.
All right.
And now that COVID is over, they call it post-COVID era. That employee is now being requested to return to the office, which is in Johannesburg. The employee flatly refused because she, on her own accord and on the basis that she will be working from home, she relocated. And now she's she refused. The employer terminated her, and to use the loose word, fired her.
Yes.
She took the case to the CCMA, but unfortunately, she failed because the employer was able to demonstrate that it went back and forth in begging her, in explaining to her why she should return to office.
Can you, I think a lot of the time employees, Osborne, talk about mitigating factors and how they align with a competency guideline, because ideally the contract stipulates how the conduct and the agreement between the employer and the employee should work. And then we did have an extreme case where COVID changed the normal state of things. However, in this situation, Osborne, we are in right now, this, you mentioned so many aspects of how we can have a hybrid model and how someone who went and fought the CCMA in terms of return to office, how can you guide our listeners who are listening to this conversation and want to make sound decisions about how far they can make sure they are able to exercise their rights within the boundaries of the law?
I appreciate your question. So to your listeners, one, analyze the employer's request to return to office carefully. Look at the reasons that the employer is advancing forward. Look at your own situation as to whether or not are you productive, 100% working from home as a consequence of another pandemic, self-created pandemic, one may call it, called load shedding. And four, are you able to go beyond the call of duty? And when power comes back late in the hours of the evening, are you able to wake up and carry on with your work, finish it, and be able to demonstrate to your employer that even if there's load shedding during working hours, you are still able to work after hours when power comes back and complete your reports. Therefore, on that basis, you may request to be exempted. So basically, it's not a loss to the employees. The employees must still advance their own reasons as to why they do not wish to return to the office full-time or in a hybrid basis. I know most employees will cite, you know, the cost of living, petrol has gone up, et cetera, because a lot of employees have saved on petrol, truth be told.
Yeah.
So they will cite that, and they will say, look, there's traffic on the roads because of load shedding, et cetera. So those are some of the aspects that they can highlight to the employer. Hence, I said, prudent employers will no doubt have open discussions in order to hear the views of the employees before arriving at a final decision to say, you know what, there is my date, there is 6 February 2023, I expect everyone to be back in the office.
Osborne, largely, employers are baby boomers, 35 plus, people who are old, they're very traditional in their thinking. If you were to talk to them right now, what are the pros and cons of a top-down approach, as you mentioned, to say, listen, this is my deadline, there's no negotiation, if you want to argue, go somewhere else. What are the pros and cons of that approach?
It's a very bad one. I would encourage employers, and most employers do so in this country, to have an open, meaningful discussion, engaging process, if necessary, form a committee in terms of which you roll out your plan as to why employees must return to office, give reasons as to why employees must return to office, give example, tangible examples. For instance, employees are not able to complete reports on time because of load shedding.
Okay.
Employees are not able to attend meetings time asleep because of load shedding. Employees cannot be contacted because sometimes network is bad because of load shedding. So all of that, because where you have nothing to hide, there's no reason why you should not be transparent and be open and be engaging. And that's the advice that I'll give to employer. Of course, let's face it, at the end of the day, if there's a deadlock, the decision lies with the employer, because he's the one who pays a salary for a full-time job. Yes. He's the one who expects productivity. He's the one who expects increased performance. He's the one who's expected to make profit so that he can grow the business. So at the end of the day, as employees, we must keep that in mind, that the decisions will eventually lie with the employer after it has explored all avenues, engaged with the employees, encouraging them to return to the office, some agreeing, some not, then some facing the consequences of their decisions.
Osborne, theoretically, everything that we've armed ourselves with would give us a solid, sound argument to present. However, the environment that you are in may not be accustomed or even able to implement all these elements. How do you gauge as an individual who to approach in an organization and who should be in this work from home committee or come back to office committee? Then you can decide, hey, I can actually talk and engage with these individuals, because a lot of the time you lose that objectivity with the business owner.
Indeed, human resources. Human resources is your go-to, go-between in terms of matters like this. Human resources, and perhaps at some point where there's compliance officers, where there's health and safety officers, and this is a topic for another day. Some employees may still raise medical reasons why they don't want to return. Okay. And that's a topic for another day, to say, look, I still show some comorbidities, I cannot return to a crowded place, et cetera, et cetera. But we now know that we've passed COVID. Mm-hmm. You know, they said COVID is gone, but I don't know whether there will be another one, et cetera. So there has to be a committee that is made up of HR, okay, health and safety representatives. If there are trade unions, like in banking, you have SASBO, then representatives of the union have to be involved, or representatives appointed from employee groups on the floor, those that are not unionized, etc. Okay. I can tell you those open discussions from that committee will make a difference insofar as ensuring that the employer arrives at a decision that is well supported by the majority of the employees. Not forgetting the hybrid, because if you ask me personally, I would prefer a hybrid, because it's not a guarantee that when you're in the office, you become productive.
True.
You know, some employees in the office, they just litter around, go up and down, distracted. You know, others, hey, did you hear? Hey, you know. So personally, I would prefer hybrid, you know, where certain days are set aside. In fact, I'm told that one regulator has already gone ahead and adopted a hybrid working policy, such that it doesn't have too many employees at the office at the same time, you know. That's the basis upon which this return to office can be successfully implemented.
All right, Osborne. You know, I'm a big fan of the underdog, and I know that there's a theoretic aspect of what we're speaking about, and I just want to give and inform our listeners a bit more with regards to the correct state in which they can enter into these discussions and how. If there is no committee, and I'm just doing worst case, and I'm doing a bit of scenario planning here, Osborne, if you'll just entertain us. If there's no committee, and you can see that the HR is basically part and parcel, and there's no actual objectivity between them and the business owner, how should you progress or pull back? Because there are consequences. As you mentioned, CCMA lady got fired because they didn't follow processes.
Yes. So I think it will be rare that there will be no human resources. So I would advise an employee who does not wish to return to office to approach human resources, have a discussion in confidence with them, and give reasons why.
Okay.
And if those reasons are found to be valid, then human resources can take can take up those reasons to the business owners, okay, to the managing directors, executives, and say, look, in respect of this employee, this is the situation, etc. But you can imagine that employee will multiply into thousands and thousands, and most of them will just simply say, look, I cannot come to office because of ABC. Look, let's face it, the reality of the situation is that generally employees will not wish to return to office primarily because of the economic situation that we find ourselves. Yes. Petrol and diesel have gone up drastically. And, you know, employees were enjoying working from home, saving on petrol and all that stuff. The other sad part of it is that some employees were moonlighting. I had one case where an employee approached me, and it was found out that that employee never logged in during office hours when he was working from home. And it was found out that he was actually running a private taxi. And that was very sad. And I immediately withdrew as an attorney of record. So you can't represent somebody under those circumstances. And I can tell you, employees deep down in their heart, they know, most will know why they don't want to go back to the office, because some of them, unfortunately, are using the opportunity to moonlight.
All right.
You know, they will connect the computer, leave it on as if, you know, he's connected, he's logged in, the emails will come in, etc. Okay. Forgetting that some emails may say, hey, Osborne, I need this in 10 minutes. By that time, he's at the park station collecting people, or he's somewhere selling this, etc. No, these things do happen. Okay. People do have side hustles, etc.
Yeah.
And some employers, they let it go. But some employers actually want to see tangible productivity. If they need a report in the next 10 minutes or so, you should be able to produce it. If they need finance information to prepare financials for the month end, etc., you should be able to do so.
Banking. Thank you so much. That's Osborne Moladudi, MD of Moladudi Attorneys and Employment Law Specialist, talking to us about power outages forcing South Africans back to the office.